Amen. If you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to join me in Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 22. Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. We are continuing this morning in our series on spiritual practices, focused on the invitation of God to be transformed and healed through these practices. And we're reminded every step of the way as well that our God is more interested in our healing and transformation than even we are. Today we come to the concept of sacred space. Sacred space and a commitment to moving into sacred spaces is a wonderful way for us to experience the living God. If we take time to look in Scripture for this concept of sacred space, we need to look no further than Moses standing on holy ground in front of a burning bush, or Peter on top of a mountain taking in the transfiguration of Jesus in all of his glory, or Paul lying on the ground on the road to Damascus as he has his first encounter with the living God. But Jacob, our text for today in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob and his dream at Bethel might be the best example in all of Scripture. And so I'll begin reading now in verses 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain space, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord your God, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will be spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be gathered together today in this sacred space. We acknowledge your presence here with us, and it is our joy and our privilege to be able to worship you in this space. We are so thankful this morning as well for your Scripture, the gift of the Old and New Testaments, how much they reveal of you to us and how much they reveal of ourselves when we study and learn of your love for each of us. In these next few minutes, as we consider together Jacob's experience, I ask that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's consider for a few moments this experience that Jacob has had. Jacob has betrayed his twin brother not once but twice. And as we enter into the text, he begins running for his life. Jacob sets out on the 550-mile journey from Beersheba to Haran. It will take him about a month to travel that distance. But as we enter the picture, he's traveled about 60 miles and he arrives at a place called Luz. He lays down for the night. And as he sleeps, he has a dream. In his dream, a stairway is stretching from earth to heaven. Some of our texts call it a ladder. It's where we get the phrase Jacob's ladder. Angels are ascending and descending, and God sits above this stairway. And God speaks, reiterating the covenant promises he's made to his people, but now speaks them specifically to Jacob and with specific regard to the land that he is currently lying upon. God has revealed himself to Jacob in an unforgettable way. And Jacob's one-dimensional experience of God up until this point now becomes transformed. This stairway visualizes an uninterrupted communion between heaven and earth, a portal to the divine, a thin space. And after the promise is given, Jacob awakes and he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven." Let's talk for just a moment about the concept of place. As Jacob awakens from his dream, he declares the significance of this place. Now, when he'd gone to bed the night before, it was just a place to stop and rest. When he awakens the next morning, it looks the same. But Jacob knows better at this point. He realizes that though he fell asleep with no recognition of the presence of God, he awakens knowing God is in fact there. And no doubt his declaration was influenced by his dream of the presence of God, because God seemed so very close. Jacob is so taken by this sense and by God's promise regarding the land that he takes the stone that he'd rested on the evening before, he sets it up as a pillar, he anoints it with oil, and he changes the name of the place where he is to Beth El, which literally means house of God. This is the house of God. We all have places like this, don't we? Sometimes we call them thin spaces, places where God seems more real. There's just something about that place where we can sense the very presence of God with us. We call these places sacred spaces. And if you take even a moment to do a Google image search of sacred spaces, it will produce some amazing images. Let's take a look at a few of them on the screen right now. Take a look at Notre Dame. Anyone ever been to Notre Dame? Seen it in person? In Paris, suffered a devastating fire a couple years ago, but is scheduled now all of that restoration to be complete by December of this year. What a beautiful and sacred space. You can sense the presence of God in this place. What about La Sagrada Familia? This is a picture inside of this beautiful chapel in Barcelona. This is the one that's famous for having been under construction for 140 years and still not done yet. They're saying they're about to wrap up the work, but I'm just not sure I believe them. This is a beautiful space, a unique space. You can sense the presence of God in a place like this. St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. Also a magnificent sacred space. What a beautiful tribute to the glory of God right there in the midst of the city. How about the Church of Mary Magdalene? This is a very unique and beautiful one. It's in the city of Jerusalem. Beautiful to see and gives glory to God even just by its architecture and construction. How about the whole city of Jerusalem? Beautiful space. I've yet to go there. I can't wait to make that trip someday. But a beautiful sense of all of the history of Scripture and our Savior and all sorts of beautiful pictures of God's glory. Now, sacred spaces don't have to be distinctly Christian either. Sometimes there's just something so beautiful and profound about the space itself that it still feels like a thin space. We can still sense our God in that place. How about Stonehenge? Anyone ever been to Stonehenge? What an experience. I've had the privilege of going a couple times, and of course, when you go to Stonehenge, you never have it to yourself. It's not like these photographs, right? When you get there, it's you and, you know, 500 of your closest friends, but even with all of those people around you, there is such a beauty, such a power there that I sense my God when I find myself in a place like that. How about the Arc de Triomphe in Paris? That may not be a sacred space to you, but 2 years ago, I had a chance to be there on the day the Tour de France finished in France, and it was sacred for me that day. I sensed all kinds of exhilaration, and I sensed my God as well. A lot of these sacred spaces, when you search them out, they feel very, very far from home, and that's an interesting component here, too, because it brings to mind this concept of pilgrimage, which is another spiritual practice, making a trip from where you are to a sacred space. And so there's an outward journey when you engage in this practice of pilgrimage, and then the idea is that there's an inward journey as well. Historically in the church, pilgrimage was a part of the experience of being a Christian. We talk a lot about the Psalms of Ascent. The Songs of Ascent, it's the end of the book of Psalms, where the people of God would make their journey back for the religious festivals in Jerusalem. And so in the history of the church, people would be pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem, they'd be pilgrims on the way to Rome, and they'd also be pilgrims on the way to Santiago. Santiago is a space that's become very popular in recent years where people will engage themselves in the Camino de Santiago, 500 miles of traveling to arrive to the space where it's said that the bones of St. James reside. He's not sitting in the sanctuary right now. He's back in the narthex, but our very own Mike Smith walked those 500 miles just last year and had that experience of pilgrimage and that experience of arriving to this sacred space that you can see on the screen. What a beautiful, beautiful idea and experience. Now, some of these sacred spaces can also be closer to home. Take a look at this picture on the screen of Torrey Pines. That's right down at the coast. And that particular tree right there, well, it's my tree, I think. I've traveled out to that tree numerous times in the last number of years. You can hike out to that space. And I usually bring a blanket with me to sit on, and I bring some food and water. And it's usually when I'm ruminating about some decision I need to make or some direction from God that I'm sensing. And going to that place and sitting there, I sense the presence of God. I feel like Jacob. Surely God was in this space. And I feel like I can engage God in a special way because of that experience. How about the labyrinth that's right outside our door? We put that in just a little over a year ago, and it is a beautiful sacred space. The entire design of walking the pilgrimage of that maze is designed to help us commune with God in a powerful way, and we could do it anytime right there in our parking lot. And then right behind that labyrinth, you can see another sacred space, the sanctuary that we worship in every single Sunday. What a beautiful piece of that. Now, the picture you see on your screen, that's even closer to home for me. That's my backyard. And every now and then, I like to sit in my backyard and prepare to watch a sunset from the beginning to complete darkness. And I can sit on my patio, it's quiet as can be, and I sense the presence of God, even in that simple act of sitting down and watching a sunset. Sacred spaces can be literally anywhere because we know that our God is everywhere. We are the ones that choose in embracing sacred spaces to open our eyes and to see that God is in that space. And when we choose to regard a place as sacred, it empowers that place to be a trigger for us to engage with our God in more powerful ways than just rushing our way through this life. All of this taps into a concept known as the spirituality of place. Mystics have taught us that if we look deeply enough at a space, we will find that God is already there. Theologian and author Barbara Brown Taylor has written a book called An Altar in the World. And in that book, she says, "Earth is so thick with divine possibility that it's a wonder we can walk anywhere without cracking our shins on altars." What a beautiful concept. God is everywhere. And in a sense, there are altars to God everywhere because of his glory, his power, and his accessibility to us. Regarding Jacob's experience, Taylor writes, "God can drop a ladder anywhere. The whole world is the house of God." I think we have that quote on a slide as well. I'm wrong. I do like the concept, though, of God being able to drop a ladder anywhere. Here, Jacob was in this amazing space, and that was his experience. But wherever we happen to be, we can imagine the same because we know that the presence of God is true. Knowing this, we can open our eyes wherever we find ourselves to the sacred space and the presence of our God. And so the question I have for you this morning is, where is your sacred space? Obviously, we're saying God is everywhere, so your sacred space can be anywhere. But it's an important practice for us to identify a space or several spaces that we embrace as sacred spaces. Because by choosing one or more than one and making a commitment to visit often, We can find this transformative spiritual experience. Does anyone use the Reminder app on their iPhone? Do you know the one I'm talking about? It's your to-do list and you put things down there. And most of us, you can set a date and a time where it's going to buzz in your pocket and remind you of something that you would have forgotten otherwise. A few years ago, I had this revolutionary experience where I realized the Reminder app also works with GPS. So you can say, remind me to do such and so when I get home. And so then right as I drive into my driveway, the buzzer goes off and I get that reminder that I need. It's saved my life having this GPS function reminding me in specific spaces. That app came to mind this week while I was studying sacred spaces. Because I think one of the reasons it's so important to identify a space is that we begin to associate the powerful experience of God with that space. And it's almost as if when we choose to journey to that space, whether it's a journey to a particular seat in our house or to our backyard or out to the beach or even across the world, when we do it on a frequent basis, there's something that buzzes inside of us when our GPS reaches that point. When we, as a human being, walk into the space where we have history, we know we've encountered God here before, and we know with assurance that God is waiting for us here now. As simply identifying a space can bring that kind of power to our experience of God, even on a daily basis. People like to be outdoors sometimes when they're identifying their sacred space. Some people say, anytime I'm near water, that's all it takes. I need to be by the ocean, by a river, by a lake. Maybe it's a favorite vacation spot. Maybe it's a favorite tree like the one I have at Torrey Pines. Maybe it's your backyard. Maybe it's a special chair somewhere in your house that's in a quiet space. Whatever it is, it's so important for us to identify these sacred spaces and recognize the invitation from our living God to experience Him in those spaces. And so here's your homework for this week. Try this spiritual practice on for size, even as we've been talking about doing the same with all of the practices so far. If you don't already have one, find and visit a sacred space this week. Brainstorm the options we've talked about today, or other places where you've already sensed the presence of God, and decide, is there a space in my schedule this week where I can journey out to that place? And then once you're in that place, you can choose one of the spiritual practices that we've already considered, the breath prayer, the welcoming prayer, the Lectio Divina, whatever it is, and practice that in the sacred space, realizing that like Jacob, surely God is in this space, even though you didn't know it to start with. I promise you that if you pick a space and you return to that space on a regular basis, recognizing the value of sacred space will help to lead to an experience of God and more of the healing and transformation that God desires in your life. Let me pray for us. Lord God, in a sense, the concept of sacred space is so simple, especially if we realize that we don't have to journey to Jerusalem to have this kind of spiritual experience. I'm so thankful that you are everywhere, that you are always available to us, and that it seems clear from what we read in Scripture that there are times when you become even more evident to your people, when you reveal more of yourself to your people, and it seems that in sacred spaces you often do this. I pray for us as a busy people in this world and as people who don't always get away or outside or carve out this quiet time with you, that you'd help us this week to find some time to pull away. And whether we get in our cars and drive out to the beach, or just walk into our backyard, or sit down in our favorite chair in the corner of our home, that we can do that. We can take our deep breaths in that space. We can acknowledge that you are there with us, and we can sense some of your healing and transformation working within us. Help us to embrace this discipline on a regular basis so that we are reminded as your people that we are never alone and that you promise to journey with us in all that we face in this world. I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.